The lesson this afternoon is the big four in every Christian's life. This is extracted from a passage of Scripture at about the close of the Apostle Paul's lifespan. When you reflect upon the things that this man did, when you think about the tribulation, the efforts, the persecution, and all of the great admonishments that this individual has given, the verses that we're using this afternoon are his own climax. It's something that he has just said about himself. Now, these are very factual things. It's not boasting, but it's very factual, and he says it without reservation as he speaks to Timothy. I suppose the time of this speaking was a rather traumatic span due to the fact that the man himself, that is Paul, knew that his life was about to be ended. I believe the very nature of the phrasing of this would indicate that he was expecting to be beheaded, to be offered, poured out. Those expressions indicate that. He says, "I am now ready to be offered," in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, starting at verse 6. "The time of my departure is at hand." Now, he'd been through a lot. He had been threatened before. He had been stoned. He had been imprisoned. But it seems as if he knew that this was going to be the end, that there was not going to be any miraculous deliverance or anything like that, and he is resigned to this. And that's a very difficult and trying time. And now here's what he says about himself. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I just wonder what Timothy thought. I wonder how he reacted to this. I know they were both strong individuals, but I would doubt seriously that there was a lack of emotion here. I think that it just had to be. And I just want to discuss with you for a few minutes the statements that the apostle made. He said, "I have fought a good fight." Now, to say that and evaluate yourself is quite a thing. But that's the way he put it. He says, "I have fought a good fight." Now, that really includes a lot. When a person could say that he has fought a good fight, especially in a religious realm or sphere like this, just what would this entail? I certainly wouldn't profess to be able to extract everything that this verse has. I know better than that. But I can see some things. When he said, "I have fought a good fight," you know, every individual fights his fight individually. In other words, it's a very personal thing. That doesn't mean that I don't get help from somebody else, and that doesn't mean that I can't offer it to someone else. But when you get right down to the final, it's you doing your bit, is it not? And to do this, it would take what we would term as a very good soldier. And that gets into the idea of being strongly disciplined. I don't think anybody is capable of fighting the good fight without disciplining himself. And I don't mean just casually, and I don't mean doing just a ship-shod job at this. I mean doing it well, because that is what it is all about. It's an individual that takes orders well. Well, you know, we have to discipline ourselves in order to accept an order. You know, when God gives orders, or when Jesus Christ gives orders, in order for us to accept the order, we have to discipline ourselves to accept it. It's not something that you weigh and see, well, whether it's the thing that I feel that I'm the most equipped for. It's not just taking an order and say, well, I'll wait for the next one to come along. Maybe I can handle a little better. But we have to be able to accept what comes, and that gets to be a difficult thing. Because our steps are ordered. I don't mean your steps are predestinated or anything like that. But there has to be one that would take orders well, if you get that point. I remember when the apostle was sent on the initial missionary journey. And maybe in a real sense, that might have been the only one that was 100% missionary, due to the fact that the second journey, a good deal of that was in the confirmation of the saints or strengthening them. But that might be a technical point in your view, and you can just weigh it for what you think it's worth. But when this man was sent, when the church sent him from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, there wasn't any qualms about it. He went. Come what may, he went. There's the making of the correct soldier. He disciplined himself to accept what God had to offer. Of course, I'm aware of the fact that his conversion would probably have shored him up on that score too, because he went through with several things there. After all, being blind and so on, being led into the city and waiting for orders as to what to do, having all your spiritual underpinning pulled out from under you, and all of the religion of the fathers being null and void as far as being apropos to his life, I think that this man had a very good send-off, and I would say it was a very hard one too, but he was able to do it. He could just obey these things. He was a classic example in things of this nature. Therefore, I can understand why the Holy Spirit directed him in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy and enabled him to say that I have fought a good fight. I can see why God had a hand in that kind of a statement, because it was such absolute truth, it just could not be denied. A good soldier is one that doesn't expect victory every time. He expects victory ultimately, but for every little skirmish, I don't think any soldier would say, well, we'll win every one of them. But with Paul, he was ready to do battle. I'm not saying that he got everything done that maybe he started out to do. But, you know, sometimes it takes a few setbacks in order to make a person what he ought to be. If Paul had completely succeeded, as men call successes, every time, there might be a question in my mind that he would have been the strong person that he really was. You see, there are some times that he was not able to do maybe what he wanted to do. You take the situation at, let's take the situation at Athens, if you will. You know, everything was easy at Athens. All the other places, he had been opposed, and probably, there was no cooperation at all. But the Athenians, being the curious people that they were, why, they just rolled out the red carpet. Have the amphitheater if you want to, and we just want to hear what you have to say. Well, that was really a switch from what the man was used to, and that was just great. But then, the sad reality is that I've never been able to find where the church ever started at Athens at all. Isn't that strange? The places where there was the most adversity, truth seemed to flourish more. And when it was easy, it didn't do it so well. So that might have been a setback, we would say. Well, it let him know, I guess, that he wasn't going to succeed as we would count success every time. But again, a person is made better by a few setbacks. A person is made better by being buffeted occasionally. I don't think any individual reaches his pinnacle until he has some of that. And I don't think he's to be discouraged by that. Let it not be something that would discourage us. Let's take it for what it's worth. He fought the good fight. Then the record says, I have finished my course. Kind of an interesting word there. He didn't say he'd finished the course. He'd finished my course. You know, every one of, if you want to speak of our course along this line, there could be differences as far as yours and mine. We perhaps don't all have the same. Now, I realize there's an element of being the same in all of them. But he recognized his, if you will. Every person has his strength. Every person has his weaknesses, and our strengths are not all the same. And I know our weaknesses aren't all the same. And we have to finish our course. The apostle said, I have finished my course. There's things that all of us do, some of us would do easier than others, and vice versa. What might be a tremendous mountain for you? I may not look at it that way, and it may not be that way for me. And then, maybe something that's real difficult for me would be the proverbial molehill for you. We have to recognize ourselves. Know thyself. And that can be a great thing. Paul says, I have finished my course. He finished his course because of great self-control that he had. I think I touched a little on that, but I want to go further. He makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now this shows that he recognized his potential weaknesses. He was alert to the fact that he had to bring his body under subjection. He had to buffet it. He had to pound it. He had to hit it, if you will, in order to bring it where it belonged. And he did it because of fear. He did it because of apprehension. I get a little bit disturbed when I hear people saying, well, there shouldn't be any fear in New Testament Christianity. Well, you don't walk the road with Paul if you say that. You might walk your road. But he brought it into subjection, lest after I had preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. He had a fear of falling. He had a fear of doing this. He realized that he was not totally invincible. He realized that there was a chance that he could fall. And if he had some misgivings about this, if he had fear, if he had concern, if he had apprehensions, where do you think the rest of us better stand then? What an outstanding thing. Maybe that's the source of his strength. The very fact that he was fearful lest he would slip and stumble gives rise to the idea, at least in my judgment, that he was cautious then. He was alert to it. He was watching. He didn't just blindly go, well, I can't fall, I can handle this and I can handle that, and didn't even size up the enemy that he was meeting. That's not his characteristic at all. The reason he was able to finish the course was because he was on guard. And we'll finish our course, too, commensurate with our ability to be on guard. Then, to finish his course, he had to strive lawfully. It's not enough to do a lot of things. It's not enough to have strong faith. It's only enough when we do it lawfully. Lots of things are done, but maybe not according to rule. God has standards. God has a way of doing things. God has his desires. God has his wants. We're soldiers in the army. We take orders, if you will. And the only way that we can succeed is when we do things lawfully. I judge that he alluded to probably the athletic events of the day and age and so on. He makes reference to the race. The running of the race. Well, you know what happens If you step out of bounds, I don't care if it's a quarter of an inch. If you're out of territory, you're in trouble. You're disqualified. Your speed might exceed all the others, but there's no crown if it isn't done lawfully. Everything that we need to do religiously, everything that we need to do for the Master, there's a right way of doing it. It isn't just doing it. It's doing it correctly. And that's the thing that we have to remember. And then the endurance angle. Putting forth the effort. I've always been impressed since I discovered the verse in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians and in verse 24. Know you not that all which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Kind of a strange sounding passage. Now every person that runs in the race can win. But Paul wants us to think this way. In those athletic events, there was one winner. Now he said, everybody runs in the race. And he says, I want you to run that you may obtain. Maybe I could phrase it this way. He wants us to feel like there's only going to be one winner as far as Christianity is concerned. As far as the end, when all stand before the judgment, he wants us to feel that we're going to be a winner, just like you were the only one that was going to be crowned. In other words, you put forth effort just as though you were the only one that was going to win. You wanted to be the one winner. Now, don't misunderstand me. Anybody that runs successfully is going to win. But the thinking here would help. The attitude would help. If we would just in our mind think, well, I'm the only one there's only one going to win, and I want to be the one. Now that would put effort into it. We'd put effort into that, wouldn't we? And that's really the way we ought to go. That's the way we ought to think. Paul said in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews that seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience or endurance the race that's before us. I heard of a person one time and misread this verse. And by his misreading it, I think he got the message across better than if he did it correctly. He read it, the sin that does so easily upset us. And that's exactly what happens. So sometimes, even a little error sometimes brings light to a scripture. The weights. Lay aside every weight. They could be legion. He probably alludes to the idea that many of the runners weighted their feet or put on heavy shoes or shackles and made them walk with those heavy weights on, so that when they removed them, there would be a sense of being lighter footed, if you please, or more fleet of foot. And of course there's a discourse within itself as far as the weights that hinder. The third one. Paul says, I have kept the faith. And there's a real one too, isn't it? He said, I have kept the faith. That's the thing we need, is endurance, folks. Stay with it. Keep the faith. I think that's what the church needs about as bad as anything I can think of, is people that will keep the faith. Now, you might think I'm bizarre in this. I don't know. But I'm more concerned today with people keeping the faith than I am on the idea of conversion. I think it's a bigger issue. If we could just get people to stay, if we could just get people to stop backsliding, I think all the rest of it would take care of itself. Every community is fraught with this. I know I could do it in Nixa. You can do it in Des Moines. You can do it any place where the church exists. And you can just start counting and counting and counting over the last, let's make it easy, let's just take 20 years. And you just list or in your mind the people that used to be members of the Lord's church 20 years ago that aren't there anymore. And the list goes on and on. The world is just covered with spiritual wrecks, shipwrecks, if you please. If every person that had ever been baptized into Jesus Christ had stayed, there's no person in the world, I think this would even confuse the computers, that could add up that total. Well, somebody says you could find out how many people. Yes, but that won't give you the total. If everybody that had been a member of the church was still a member, sure, you'd have a tremendous number, wouldn't you? But you see, you can't estimate the people that they might have influenced by staying there. Look what that would do. When Paul said, "I have kept the faith," one of the most important statements he's made. Our church buildings would be overflowing if every person that started had stayed. When he said, "I've kept the faith, once delivered," what an outstanding statement that is. So, when he said, "I have kept it," you don't win until the end. You can live to be 80. And then drop out and die in your 81st year and you're goner. It's keeping it. I know the opposition is great. I know it takes on different slants, different pictures and all of that. But it's still staying with it. That was the mark of the worthies of the New Testament scriptures. Paul said, "I have fought, I've finished, and I have kept the faith." And what an outstanding thing that is. That's the big three. Now the big four is, henceforth, is laid up for me the crown. Henceforth, or because of these reasons, the crown is there. The reward of the faithful. What do you think about the big four? I don't think it was a misnomer at all to say that it's in every Christian's life. There's the secret of it. Now, in my remarks about, it doesn't mean that I wasn't interested in converting people. It didn't mean that I didn't think that it was necessary. I know that it is. But if you could solve that one, I think the converting would come relatively easy if everybody was keeping the faith. It would render such an influence that it would just be a conversion. The conversion of people would be a kind of a fallout from this. Let's think through. And that's my message this evening.